salvation and life. The Master made answer in words true and plain, he must be born again. He must be born again. He must be born again. I verily, verily say unto thee, he must be born again.
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you've tuned into the broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study here in Luke 21, verse number 21. Jesus is here observing the Passover with his disciples. He's desired greatly to come to this time of this Passover. He institutes the Lord's Supper, as we refer to it, where he takes the bread at hand and the wine at hand and uses it in a symbology fashion, not a changing fashion, not transubstantiation or such as that. Christ suffered once. He shed his blood once. He died once. He was buried once. He rose from the dead once and lives forevermore. Christ is not crucified over and over again. There's no need. It's a shame if it would be that Christ would need to go and die again. It would be a testimony of his lack of power if he would have to go and be crucified again. Once for all, our Lord Jesus was crucified, died, was buried, and rose again. Once he shed his precious blood there on the tree. So, but he takes of the elements of the Passover, and he takes two symbolizing his body and his blood. Interesting that in that ordinance we partake of that as members of his New Testament Baptist churches. We partake of that, and we tell in that symbology that we have fully partaken of Christ. We need the Lord Jesus worse than and greater than daily nourishment and daily sustenance. We need the Lord Jesus Christ indeed and above all. But Jesus here, after instituting this, and he says, makes it very clear that it's to be done in remembrance of his death and remembrance of him and what he has done for sinners, for his people. In verse 21 of Luke chapter 22, verse number 21, "But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table." And so the 12 are there, and the Lord, having observed the Passover, instituted his supper, Judas is there. Even an unbeliever, even one possessed by Satan, is there with the Lord Jesus. "And truly the Son of Man goeth, as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed." And so these things were foreordained by God, that Jesus would submit himself to this and suffer as was needed to be for the sins of his people. And Judas is there. And you know what? The unbelieving Judas did not change anything about the Passover, did not change anything about the observance, the institution of the Lord's Supper. He bore his own condemnation on his own head, and it had no impact on the true believers, on the Lord's disciples and the Lord himself. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And so here we see about the cunning of Judas, and the lack of any knowledge or understanding on the part of all the apostles. They are asking, "Who is it, Lord? Who is it?" And they say, "Is it me? Is it me?" They're asking, is it I? Is it me? And so Judas was well hid unto the other apostles, but he was known indeed unto the Lord. "And there was also a strife among them," verse 24, "which of them should be accounted the greatest." And so we move on to a little bit later time. They have ambition. They seek to be great. They believe Jesus is going to usher in the kingdom of God, and so they will rule and reign with him and be in authority and such as that. They don't fully understand the operating of the Lord. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. So he describes the hierarchy amongst the Gentiles. Caesar, and Caesar to his consuls, and then consuls to different governors, and so on and so on. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. So the Lord says, in all this order that the Gentiles have, and this hierarchy that is prevalent and known amongst them, that's not to be among you. If you are chief, be the least, be the younger. If you're great, be the servant. Don't seek to self-promote, but seek to serve and to do for others. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. He says, look at me. Who is greater than me? And it's the truth. Who is greater than the Lord? But look, I've come to serve. Look how it is with me. You want to be great? Be like me, and be as one that serves. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So the Lord gives them insight into their calling, and he says, the Father has given me a kingdom. And here's some insight for you, fellas. You wrangle about wanting to be the greatest amongst you, to be overlord over the others? No. I have ordained, it has been ordained, that you will sit on 12 thrones. You will sit at my table in my kingdom and eat and drink with me and sit on 12 thrones to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. I think that in that, they find that the Lord Jesus Christ has in store for them in the kingdom of the Lord to come greater than they could ever have imagined, greater than they could ever have claimed. Really, when they thought about self-promotion, they kind of thought low. They kind of aimed low. But the Lord said, you serve and you be obedient unto my calling of you, just as I've been obedient to my calling of the Father. And you do what I want you to do, and I'll take care of the rest. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Simon, Satan wants to find out what you are. He wants to find out if there's any grain in there, if there's really anything of value in there. Satan makes the claim, Simon, that you're all chaff, that there's nothing to you, that you're just a big bunch of talk and a blowhard, and there's nothing to you. Satan wants to take you, and he wants to tear you up. Satan knows that Peter is indeed a leader amongst the brethren. He's been appointed an apostle, not the apostle, not the chief apostle, but he's an apostle amongst the 11. And he knows he has an impact in the leadership because of his demeanor and his way. And Satan wants to take and compromise, his testimony, in any way that he can. And the Lord tells Simon that, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, Simon, that thy faith fail not. Isn't that something? the Lord Jesus speaking to Simon, telling him, I have prayed for you. The prayers of the Lord Jesus Christ, always right, always on time, always answered. The prayers of the Lord Jesus Christ. I prayed for thee, Simon. I've prayed that your faith, thy faith, fail not. Faith in self, faith in the system, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. What is this about conversion? Is Jesus saying that finally it'll be that Peter will be saved? No. It's not talking, our Lord Jesus is not talking about Peter being saved. Peter is already saved. But Peter hasn't grown up enough yet. Peter lacks some maturity in the Lord and in His Word and in His truth. Peter lacks the trial of being tested and proven by great adversity and great strain. Peter still has in the back of his mind the backup plan to go back to Galilee and go back to fishing. Peter has not come to the point of total resignation to the call of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus called and said, Peter, follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men, that the Lord Jesus Christ meant it for a lifetime. Peter's not there yet. Peter's not there to love his brethren and to be there as one that will help them. The Lord Jesus says, what I've got for you, Peter, is to be a strengthener of your brethren. But you must be converted first. You must be converted first. You must be brought down and emptied to self first. Satan wants to sift you like wheat and find out what you've really got. And that's where you need to come down and understand what you really have. Peter needs to be brought to the point that the only one that he has is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ has him. To be sold out totally and completely in every whit of life to the will of his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be converted, to not be as Brother Elijah challenged the children of Israel, to not be halted between two opinions, to not be looking this way and looking that way, determined, trying to figure out the way to go, the way of the Lord, the way of the world itself, the way of the world, Lord, or the way of the world itself. When thou art converted, Peter, strengthen thy brethren. Have you been converted? Have you been saved? Tell you what, if you're not saved, you need to repent of your sins and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He save your soul. And then when folks are saved, they need to join one of the Lord's New Testament Baptist churches and serve Him in that church and be converted. Grow up in the Lord. And come to a place of maturity and dedication to the Lord that cannot be changed. A study of Peter's life will reveal such a thing. Well, I see our time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of His gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Rill Creek.
We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.almstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Almsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.